Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. You are now locked into what is the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We are coming to you all on this Tuesday, November 26th, 2019. We are now just 2 days away from the Thanksgiving holiday. I know as you all prepare for that holiday, you know, I'm sure it's a lot of work for those who are hosting Thanksgiving dinner at your respective houses, trying to get the house in order, deep clean the whole house, right? Make sure that, you know, you got everything on that grocery list, that elongated grocery list as family and friends come over to partake in food and fun. Oh, it's one of my favorite holidays. Thanksgiving is my second favorite holiday of the year. Numero uno, of course, has to be Christmas, the most wonderful time of the year. But happy early Thanksgiving to you and yours. I'll be saying that as we lead you up to the Thanksgiving holiday that will be Thursday. And on today's Current Sports, we've got a loaded one in store for you all. On today's show, we'll be rolling in a bit of the Mark D'Antonio press conference. Coach D did indeed speak to us media members, as he always does, during a game week every Tuesday morning inside of the Time and Loopy Media Izzo Media Center in Spartan Stadium in North End Zone. Of course, Mark D'Antonio and his Spartans are preparing for the final regular season game of the year when they will take on Maryland, playing host to Maryland this Saturday in what will be senior day for the seniors on the Michigan State football squad. And it's kind of a big game, kind of a big deal, because there is bowl eligibility on the line for Michigan State football. If you win, you are bowl eligible. You will be going to some kind of bowl. Many predicting that Michigan State will be playing in the Quick Lane Bowl if they do get the dub this Saturday, which will be downtown Detroit. Yeah, not real sexy, but hey, it is what it is. You can still say you went to a bowl game. All right? So you get a chance to hear what Coach D had to say. He was also even asked about Urban Meyer. Yeah, how did Urban Meyer make his presence felt in this morning's press conference, you ask? Well, Mark D'Antonio was criticized by former Ohio State football coach Urban Meyer, now turned Fox Sports college football analyst Urban Meyer, when Urban talked about, you know, the development of Michigan State football players and the recruitment when it comes to MSU football kind of taking a dive. Coach D'Antonio was asked about that. You definitely want to hear his response. Thought Coach D did a good job handling that question. So stick around for that. Also, you witnessed yesterday evening that Michigan State men's basketball loss at the hands of Virginia Tech. Is it time to panic? Is it time to panic right now? This MSU men's basketball team, is it overrated? I've been debating that throughout the last 24 hours here in East Lansing with various people. I want to address a few things when it comes to that Virginia Tech loss by Michigan State. And you know who's going to help me do that? Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio, 92.9 The Game in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Deshaun Tate, the college basketball reporter, producer, host, aficionado that he is. He will help us break down what happened to Tom Izzo's Spartans. And a quick heads up, Michigan State will be playing
in almost an hour from now out in Maui, the Maui Invitational in Hawaii, as it's going to be an interesting meeting between Tom Crean and Tom Izzo. Yeah, Tom Crean, of course, a former member of the Michigan State men's basketball coaching staff, former head basketball coach at Indiana. Those two will be going at it at 2:30 p.m. More on that later on, but DeShawn Tate is going to help me break down and put in perspective the Michigan State men's basketball loss against Virginia Tech. So don't wait for, well, definitely keep it locked for that, I should say. And then later on this hour, I want to take a broad look at the NFL. We'll get away from the sad and lowly Detroit Lions talk, and I want to take a look at some of the biggest storylines that we've seen up until now in the National Football League. And whoa, Lamar Jackson is really good. Is he really good or what, man? I'm watching what he did last night on the Monday Night Football stage. I got some thoughts on that as well. So a loaded show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKARNews. Watch the live stream there and comment below that video. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. Let's start here, folks. The Michigan State men's basketball team fell to 3-2 on the season, suffering a loss at the hands of the Virginia Tech Hokies, who are now 6-0. 71-66 was your final last night. As we saw, Virginia Tech really, I mean, that's a tough team, and they shoot the ball well. I warned you guys, you know, the scouting report is pretty simple when it comes to VT. They will shoot and shoot and shoot some more from behind the arc. And, I mean, heck, if you don't defend the perimeter, an upset can happen. And that's exactly what happened. Virginia Tech was actually 10 of 21 from the three-point line yesterday. And they shot 47% from deep. They were led by Landers Nolley II, who poured in 22 points. For Virginia Tech, he was 5 of 12 from the floor, 4 of 6 from deep. Michigan State had only one player in double-digit scoring yesterday. That was Aaron Henry, who was 7 of 12 for 18 points. Right behind him, you had Xavier Tillman, who had 9 points. He also had 3 assists and 14 rebounds. That's a pretty nice stat sheet for X-Man. And coming off the bench, you had Gabe Brown, who had 9 points as well. Cassius Winston really struggled in this game. He was just 2 for 8, 1 of 5 from deep for 7 points, only had 2 assists. Just very uncharacteristic for Cassius Winston. We'll break down why he suffered in that game so much in just a moment. But Michigan State falling to Virginia Tech yesterday in the Maui Jim Maui Invitational. And again, in a little over an hour from now, Michigan State will play Georgia at 2:30 p.m. on ESPN2. All right? Okay, Justin Stevens, a 3-star offensive tackle from Canada, he committed to Michigan State football yesterday. Stevens attends Mississauga Clarkson Football North in Ontario. MSU offered the 6'6", 200-pound prospect during an unofficial visit last week, according to 247 Sports. Stevens is rated as the number 129th offensive tackle prospect in the 2020 class. Again, that's according to 247 Sports. He is the number 3 rated prospect in Ontario. And the Detroit Pistons found a win last night at home at Little Caesars Arena, beating the Orlando Magic 103-88. Pistons move to now 6-11 on the year. And the Pistons will continue the season tomorrow as they hit the road to take on the Charlotte Hornets. That will be a 7 p.m. tip time there. All right. And the Detroit Tigers have acquired right-hander Dario Agrazel from the Pittsburgh Pirates for cash. The Tigers announced the deal yesterday. The 24-year-old Agrazel, he made 14 starts and one relief appearance for the Pirates last season. He went 4-5 with a 4.91 ERA last year. And the Detroit Lions, no surprise here, they have opened as underdogs against the Chicago Bears on Thanksgiving Day this Thursday. The spread right now reads Chicago minus 3. The over-under is set at 39 points. And also the money line is at Chicago minus 150. So the Bears are 7-1 in their past 8 NFC North games. The Lions have won 5 of the last 6 at home in this series. And man, oh man, Lamar Jackson was just absolutely brilliant last night. Those who got a chance to watch that performance, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, because he dazzled en route to that 45-6 win over the LA Rams. The Baltimore Ravens look really, really good, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that Lamar Jackson is having an MVP caliber season. Absolutely amazing. He led the Ravens to touchdowns on all 6 of his drives while continuing to rewrite the NFL record book. With the backdrop of the Hollywood sign and the bright lights of primetime, here are some feats that Lamar Jackson established on Monday. Check this. Just bear with me here. First player with 5 touchdown passes in a Monday Night Football debut. He is the youngest player at 22 years old with multiple games of 5 touchdown passes in NFL history. He is the first player in NFL history with 4 touchdown passes and at least 50 yards rushing in consecutive games. And also, he becomes the first player with at least 3,000 passing yards and 1,500 rushing yards over his first 2 seasons in NFL history. Yeah, the boy is bad, man. He is amazing. And Jackson also walked off the field hearing the chance of MVP come from the road crowd that was L.A. last night. Yeah, that's crazy stuff, man. Just, dude's amazing. More on Lamar later on this hour. Okay, authorities say an autopsy is pending for a woman who died after being brought to a Virginia hospital by former Michigan State football defensive specialist and now a player, of course, with the Washington Redskins. He's a safety for the Redskins, Monte Nicholson. Loudoun County Sheriff spokesman Craig Troxell, he told WTOP-FM that 21-year-old Julie E. Crabb's autopsy is pending toxicology results that could take months. An unresponsive Crabb was hospitalized on November 14th. Hospital personnel initially said she was suffering from an apparent drug overdose. The Washington Post reports a search warrant was made public last week saying pills, marijuana, and foil with residue were found in Monte Nicholson's Ashburn home. His lawyer says the drugs belonged to a guest. The warrant surveillance video shows Nicholson and a man named Kyle Askew Collins leaving Crabb at the hospital. Askew Collins didn't immediately return request for comment from the media, and no charges have been filed. And Monte came out and made a statement and basically said, you know, he hopes this clears up, and this has been a really tough time for him and everybody involved. So, yeah, just a shocking story there. And this is a crazy story to finish out things here. The post-game fracas between the members of the Detroit Denby High School football team and Almont High escalated as Denby players were spit on cursed at and endured racial slurs. That's according to witnesses. And this is being reported by the Detroit Free Press. Now, Detroit Public Schools Community District Superintendent Nikolai Beattie, he said Sunday that the school district was withholding any possible disciplinary action pending a review of Saturday's D5 state semifinal football game, which was actually called off early in the fourth quarter because of excessive personal fouls. Allmont won the game 36-8 at Walled Lake Central High School. As players were exiting the field, tensions escalated after a Denby player shoved an Allmont band member. So Allmont fans then began hurling racial slurs at Denby players, some of whom reacted by throwing helmets or shoes or climbing a fence that separated fans from the playing field. According to Denby coach Deion Godfrey, the racist remarks included the N-word and began as early as when Denby players took a knee during the national anthem before the game. I'm going to have further thoughts on that later on this hour as well, because there is a local tie to that story as well. Okay? All right. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. As I mentioned, you can watch the live stream there and comment below that video. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. All right, folks, in just a moment, we are going to welcome to the show Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. He is a college basketball reporter, host, producer down there. And Deshaun was certainly watching, just like many of you Spartan fans were, yesterday afternoon and into the evening as well, as MSU men's basketball suffered a loss at the hands of the Virginia Tech Hokies. A very odd game. A game, though, that Michigan State, being the number three team in the nation that they are, a game that they should have won. And Tom Izzo, actually, afterwards, he was very distraught about the loss and was very disappointed. And he actually apologized to the fans who made the trip to Maui. Quote, maybe the greatest fan group that was here. We feel like I let them down. So, and it came down to some simple things here. Turnovers. Also, foul trouble and really bad defense on the perimeter that led to some really timely three-pointers for Virginia Tech. And that's the thing about Virginia Tech. I mean, the scouting report was pretty clear. You have to guard them on that three-point line because they can make them. And the three-point line is the great equalizer in basketball. If you can knock down trays, I don't care how many points you're down, I don't care how much you may be suffering in that game. If you can find a way to knock down some threes, you can get yourself right back into that game. And it led to a Michigan State loss. So I'm going to break down further what, you know, some other things that I saw in that game. And, you know, the big question out there that I have for you is how many of you are panicking right now? How many of you are changing your perception on this Michigan State men's basketball team, a team that came into the year ranked as the preseason numero uno team in the nation, suffered that loss to Kentucky, now this loss to Virginia Tech, and many people are saying, is this really a team that's going to go deep in March and give Tom Izzo possibly that second ring that he has sought after for going on, what, 20 years now? So we'll answer all of those questions and more, but first, what I want to do is roll in a bit of what Mark D'Antonio had to say during his press conference this morning in the north end zone of Spartan Stadium. You guys know each and every Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, we have coverage of the Mark D'Antonio press conference. This will be the final one if Michigan State does not win this Saturday. Because if they win Saturday, there will be a press conference that will preview whatever bowl they will be heading to. Because they sit at 5 wins on the year. If they beat Maryland, that will be number 6, and they will go to some kind of bowl. But Mark D'Antonio, he hit on a lot of different topics here. He was asked about many different things. Of course, with it being Senior Day, Senior Day is always the final home game for MSU football during the regular season. So it will be Senior Day at Spartan Stadium this Saturday. So he addressed that. He also addressed maybe some personnel changes on the field when it comes to his players. Will we see some players who haven't gotten really any playing time this season? Will they play in this game? He addressed the struggles of Brian Lewerke, and he also addressed the criticism of Urban Meyer, former Ohio State head football coach, now turned Fox Sports college football analyst. Many of you probably heard his comments concerning MSU football recently, in which he questioned the amount of talent on the MSU football team. He questioned the development of the players who are on the team, and just he kind of took a jab at recruitment here in East Lansing. And some would argue that, hey, Urban Meyer has some valid arguments there. Well, he was even asked about that during his press conference. But first, here is Mark D'Antonio talking about the sad passing, especially during the holidays, man, to get this news, you know, that rocks Spartan Nation. You know, we not too long ago we were talking about, or just what, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the passing of Cassius Winston's brother. I mean, it's not been you know, this season so far, this holiday season has not been kind to Spartan fans out there. But Henry Hank Bulla, three-year starter, who helped the Michigan State football team win national championships as a player and a coach, he sadly passed away on Sunday. Bulla was 85. Here is Mark D'Antonio first addressing the passing of Hank Bulla.
Hank Bulla passed on Sunday evening and made a statement yesterday. But I think the biggest thing that I can say about Hank is that he was more than just a Spartan. He was a nationally recognized, nationally renowned college and pro football coach. And he impacted so many young people along the way. He continued to bleed green as after his retirement. And I'll never forget the first day that I was in the office and I was hired. The very first day I was in the office. And Coach Bulla was still had his office there as the defensive coordinator at that point in time. He was still in his office cleaning it out. And I came over and talked to me about retirement, actually. And just the first in terms of the retirement system, actually. But great guy. Three of his grandsons played for us. Obviously, I know Shane very well, and Chuck is on our staff. You know, our condolences and our prayers and thoughts are with he and his family. So move from there. But and in regards to the Rutgers game, chance to get back on winning track. Thought defensively we played very, very well. No third down conversions, tough to run against. Zero big plays, shutout, all the things that you need. On the offensive side of the ball, we got explosive plays. We're able to run the ball effectively. Stalled out a couple times on 4th and 1, but you know, got some things done on that end of the spectrum as well, and came away with a 27-0 win and a step forward, I think, in terms of what we needed to do. This game's a program game, much like it was probably in 12 with the Minnesota game. I think the standard is, as I told our football team yesterday, I don't care where you're at in the scheme of things within your schedule. When you win your 6th game, you sort of meet the minimum in terms of accomplishment. You know, you're bowl eligible, you have a chance for a winning season, things of that nature. And so we'll build on that and we'll deal with that as we move forward. And the only thing that we can sort of change is the future. While we're disappointed in where we're at, we still have an opportunity to play ourselves forward, and that's what we'll do. And when you look at Maryland right now, they've gone through some challenges themselves, a lot of injuries, much like us. Probably later than earlier, their injuries have affected their so many different things in their program as well. Outstanding running backs in McFarland, number 20, Leak, number 5. McFarland really averages 7.76 per carry, yards after contact, number 1 in the Big Ten. They've struggled at quarterback, having to use 4 different ones this past week because of injuries, etc. Defensively, Brooks is the guy, number 25. He's an outstanding football player, and I think he's one of the top leaders, if not the leader, in tackles per game. Coach Loxley comes back to Maryland after being gone for a while. I think that he's has an outstanding resume, and we'll have his guys playing very, very well as they come over. I know as we get into this, you know, we go into Thanksgiving weekend, but, you know, as always, I appreciate the Spartan support in terms of who is there and how we handle things. So I'll take some questions and go from there.
Mark, you mentioned you called this a program game. I assume that's big for your seniors, obviously. What have you seen? I guess, what did you see in the response from them after last week, maybe a mood change watching film after your first win in 2 months? And what does it mean for those seniors to get that one more game?
You know, I've said this many times. Our guys have stayed the course in terms of their attitude and their chemistry and their enthusiasm and energy. They truly have, and it's been it's been impressive, very, very impressive. So we've gotten good senior leadership from our guys. Things don't always go the way that you plan them, but at the same time, they've responded accordingly. And I thought that this past weekend, I'm sure you guys interviewed them and everything, a little bit of a weight was lifted from their shoulders a little bit just getting the win. So it's been a difficult time progressing through those things. But some of it's, you know, the 4 games previous, or five, I guess 5 previous, a little bit the off weeks, having to deal with being off those 2 weeks, surrounding those things. So, but we stayed focused. We kept going. And I've been impressed with that and look forward to that this week as well.
Mark, I don't know if you had a chance to see it. Urban Meyer was talking about the program and the struggles lately, and he was very complimentary of you as his friendship and you as a coach, but said to him what he eyed was development of players and recruiting. Do you agree maybe that that's accurate?
Well, I have a great deal of respect for Urban Meyer, and but, you know, when you're in the thick of it here, you know a little bit more about the program here. And I've always said that, you know, we've done a good job developing our players. I mean, Doc Quez Denard was a two-star player coming out, had 0 scholarship offers, yet he becomes a first-round pick. Jack Conklin becomes a first-round pick. Trey Waynes was a 2-star player, becomes a first-round pick. So we've had guys develop within the program, and we've been able to win games along the way. We've had some different players come in that were higher recruited guys, some 4-star guys and things of that nature, and they've been able to become good players as well. But the reality of the situation is that players come, and I don't care where you're at, they got to be developed, and they grow as people. We've had if you look at our situation this year and right now where we're at, there's a lot of reasons, and I understand that, you know, but the ones that are out of our control are injuries. So consequently, we're playing young players, especially on the offensive line. You know, I would say on our offensive line, we probably had, 11 different starters, which is not usually good. But there hasn't been stability at that position along the offensive line. So injuries, I would say some officiating decisions. I'm not going to call them wrong decisions, but they didn't go our way. I would say that our schedule, the way it was propped up, was difficult. And I would also say that we've had some drop balls and some issues in the deep part of the field with guys judging the ball. I mean, you can for sure find 2 more wins in that area. The youth of our football team is right now is on display. But I think we have good players, and I think they have a tremendous chance of developing into outstanding players, especially when you look across the board at certain positions. So, you know, I guess I agree with part of it, but we play our way into those situations. And I also believe that success breeds confidence. So if you're successful and all of a sudden you find yourself 7-0, or 8-0 like the 2011 team, then you're much more confident going into the next game. The other aspect occurs as well. You start to spiral downward a little bit. You start saying, okay, what's next? I think our players have remained above that, and that's, like I said, that's been impressive. But we are where we're at. We still have a chance to have a winning season, and that's all that we can affect right now. And Maryland's up on the clock, and we're going to get ourselves ready to play against Maryland and figure everything else out after the fact. So I hope I answered the question, but I appreciate his remarks as well about me.
Mark, obviously the redshirt rule has changed the way you could use guys. You got Dobbs, Wright, Mosley, and Halleck all sitting at four games with one or possibly two left. What's the thought on using them and potentially burning redshirts there?
Yeah, I think that if guys are playing, if a guy's a starter, I mean, he's got to play on. And with the respect to some of these guys, you just don't know what's going to happen. For me, my thought process is that you really don't redshirt until your fifth year. Much like Trey Waynes redshirted and then went out after his third year. Jarrell Worthy redshirted and went out after his third year of playing. So you redshirt, whether you take it now or whether you take it after the next year or you take it basically Kevin Jarvis, if he plays in one game, we can redshirt him still. So you really don't play, you figure out your fifth year until your fifth year comes. From my perspective, if you're playing 30 plays, if you're in the mix of playing, then you play on. But you have discussions with your players and see what they want to do. So we've had discussions with two of the three of those guys, and that's what they want to do. They want to play on. I also think it's when you sit there and you say, hey, I played as a true freshman and I was not redshirted, that's like a gold star on your shirt, that you didn't redshirt as a freshman. You were integral in terms of playing, and you consistently get more readiness and more coaching when you're playing. There is no experience like going out in front of 80,000 people or 75,000 people and playing in a game, even if it's for one game, even if it's for 5 or 10 plays. That's a tremendous asset to carry with you into the next season. So in the case of Dobbs, he's slated to start. In the case of Trey Mosley, he's played 30 plays a game here the last number of games. So he's an integral part of our offense as well. So I see them playing on. Brandon, right now, he's either a 2 or a 3, depending on how much he's playing. But, again, a guy that we don't hesitate to put him in the game. Tate Halleck played just on special teams. We'll probably redshirt him. And then on it goes, because we have a couple other guys in those situations as we go forward, going into the 13th game.
All right. Mark D'Antonio. Addressing many different topics there. And, again, Michigan State taking on Maryland this Saturday. This is a game in which Michigan State needs to become bowl eligible. And, I thought he really handled that question well, when asked about Urban Meyer's criticism on the program. Now, I will say this. There's a part of me, I'm pretty sure many of you were just thinking it just now. If you just heard that soundbite for the first time, there were many sitting there saying, okay, come on, Coach D, stop living in the past. But, what is he really supposed to say in that moment? Put on the spot like that. Of course, he's going to bring up Darquez Dennard and Trey Waynes and, Jack Conklin, those players who weren't highly recruited in high school, two-star recruits turning into first-round NFL draft picks. And, he also, though, I will say this. I didn't like this aspect, how he touched on the injuries and then the questionable officiating that has led to some hurdles and some losses for his team. But overall, I thought he handled it well. I just think Coach D right now is just trying to get to Saturday and hopefully get that dub at this point. But that's a bit of what Mark D'Antonio had to say today. What I want to do right now, I want to hit our first break. And when we come back, we hope to have join us Deshaun Tate, CBS Radio, 92.9, The Game in Atlanta, Georgia. College basketball expert. He'll join us to break down what happened to Michigan State men's basketball yesterday against the Virginia Tech Hokies. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Right now, we are working on Jack Curran behind the glass, engineer of today's Current Sports. He is working on getting DeShaun Tate, a part of the hour right now of CBS Radio in Atlanta, 92.9 The Game. DeShaun, the college basketball host, producer, and reporter. He has certainly some things to say about what happened yesterday at the hands of Virginia Tech, Michigan State men's basketball, falling in the Maui Jim Maui Invitational in beautiful Hawaii. And I got some points I want to make. While we're working on DeShaun coming on the show here, I tell you what, you know, I've been having this conversation, at, you know, since that final buzzer went off last night that led to the MSU loss. I have been having multiple conversations with many people centered on this basketball team and expectations. And I tell you what, I'll address it from this standpoint, you know, because this team came in as the preseason number one. Many people hyped up and thinking that, yeah, this is definitely going to be a for sure Final Four squad. And for me, when looking at things, you know, I said, okay, yeah, it's so early in the year. You know, just how will this team mesh when they're on the court? How long will it take for this team to gel? Because this is what we do in sports, you know, especially when you see that numero uno next to your team name for the first time in preseason basketball history. You know, you get kind of excited and, you know, you get jittery and you're like, yeah, let's do this. We're ready for basketball season, baby. And you place these crazy big expectations on the squad. For me, I've always tempered mine a bit. I've been tempering mine a bit in the early stages of this year just because I want to see more of this squad as they take on some pretty good competition like that of a Virginia Tech team. And right now, this Michigan State men's basketball team, and look, I'm not panicking here. I don't like using the word panic this early in the college basketball season. That is not fair. All right, we got to let this thing play out. I always say when it comes to college hoops, let's talk around like late December, early January, okay? Let's start making some hard assumptions about the team around then. I'm not going to sit here and say Michigan State men's basketball, we need to recalibrate things here and recalibrate your expectations, and this is a team that's not going to make the Final Four. Look, a lot can change throughout the course of a college basketball year, and if we know anything about Tom Izzo, when you look at a Tom Izzo coach team, they figure things out little by little, game by game, as the season goes on. All right, so those sitting there saying, oh, this team is not what we thought it was. They're going to go out in the first weekend. All this craziness. Come on now. Stop with that jazz. I'm not hearing that. It's way too early, folks. We are so reactionary in sports. I can't say that enough. But what we can't address right now is what we're seeing from this team and what we saw yesterday. And this squad has a problem when it comes to if Cassius Winston is not on the court. You know, we've been saying this, I think, throughout pretty much the entirety of the career of the point guard that is Cassius Winston. You know, Tom Izzo had that famous quote that I always bring up. He brought it up, I think it was like two seasons ago. You know, we are a team that if you cut off the head, the body will die. We all know who that head is. That head is Cassius Winston. He is the brainchild. He is the engine. He is, just choose your pun, man. He makes this thing go. And when he is not in the game for whatever reason, and you are forced to rely on the backup guards of Michigan State men's basketball, bad things happen. I think that when Cassius goes out the game and you have a player like, I don't know, Foster Lawyer come in, I don't know. I think there's this subconscious happening that happens to the players who are playing alongside a Foster Lawyer. The trust kind of goes down. I think players start doing too much or feel like they need to do too much because Cassius Winston isn't in the game. Oh, Cassius is out? Okay, I got to step up now. I maybe I got to put up a little more shots here. You know, Foster, I don't know if I can trust him. I think, I don't know. I think something happens mentally to this team. It's a mental problem right now when Cassius is not in the game. How do you combat that? Well, first off, look, because it's going to happen, okay? It's in the scouting report. If you can frustrate Cassius Winston somehow and get him into early foul trouble, which we've seen a few times this year, especially yesterday, and he's not in the game, you got a shot. You got a shot at beating Michigan State men's basketball. All right? And I tell you what, Foster is going to have to figure this thing out. I don't know if me and Jack have talked about this in exhaust on this show. Foster Lawyer, I don't know if he's ever going to be a guard that can come in and hold down the fort when Cassius isn't in the game. Another guy you can look to, and you saw him screw up a few times last night, and it's expected. Look, he's a freshman. But Mark Rocket Watts, he had some bad turnovers. Yeah, he scored a few times, but he had some bad turnovers and key moments for Michigan State yesterday as well. Rocket is going to have to mature, and he will do that as he gets more experience at that slot. But, you know, you look at Rocket's final stat line. He was 2 of 7, had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 4 turnovers for Rocket. And he got benched. I mean, Tom Izzo at one point in that second half said, okay, we got to sit you down. I don't care if you just scored. He has 6 points. I don't care if you just scored. You got to sit next to me. You got to read the court better than that. So without Cassius Winston, there's question marks for this team. No doubt about it. Probably the lone bright spot for me was Aaron Henry. Aaron Henry was great last night. 18 points, 7 for 12 shooting. He also had 5 boards, 3 assists, 3 turnovers. And I loved, maybe this is a solution here when Cassius is in the game so that, I don't know, if he does pick up an early foul, you know, to not exhaust him early, maybe you call more plays and you switch up the lineup to where Aaron Henry is playing the one a bit more. Because I really like when Aaron Henry is running the point guard position and you got Cassius Winston playing the two. Aaron Henry will find Cassius Winston. And it led to, I remember specifically that 3-pointer that Cassius hit on the right wing where Aaron Henry, he drives, he kicks out, finds Cassius, money. I love that. And I think Aaron Henry may have to be a player right now for this team as the young pups, i.e. Mark Rocket Watts, as they try and figure out things. Aaron Henry is going to have to be aggressive early and throughout. He can't wait until the second half. Aaron Henry is going to have to find his early and throughout the entire game. Especially, and let me address this, especially when you look at the front court for Michigan State right now, guys like Xavier Tillman, guys like, you know, Thomas Kithier, guys like Marcus Bingham, those guys are very hesitant when they get the ball down low. And we saw that yesterday as well. And I tell you what, I don't know if any of those guys are true scorers. Like a guy like Nick Ward. Nick Ward was a pure scorer down low. He had a variety of post moves that he developed over time, and he would eat you up if you didn't defend him well. Tillman, I don't know. I think Tillman's kind of a pass-first guy. Same thing with Kithier. Kithier's kind of a garbage man. He'll pick up, you know, if somebody hit, you know, shoots a jumper and it hits the iron, he'll grab the rebound and go up with it. But I don't know if he can create his own shot down low. And the verdict is still out on Marcus Bingham. So when you have a front court that is not really adept at scoring, you're going to have to be a team that relies on a guard who can get the job done and put the ball in the basket when he needs to. And that guy is going to have to be Aaron Henry. And gosh, I'm looking at the squad right now and looking at what happened yesterday. If this is a trend, man, they are really missing a player like Josh Langford as well. He was also a guy who you could rely on to go out there and get a bucket, especially if Cassius Winston. Now, the big thing here, the big takeaway for me is that if Cassius Winston is not playing well, and if he gets into some kind of early foul trouble, you better buckle up. I don't care who you're playing. Right now, we got Deshaun Tate on line one. Deshaun has been waiting oh so patiently. We finally got him patched through technical difficulties with the phones. Thanks to Jack Kerwin for figuring it out. Deshaun, you heard my little spiel there when it comes to Michigan State basketball. I'll just let you go off that. What did you see yesterday out in Hawaii, and what concerns you about the Spartans so far?
First of all, let me say this. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Good thing I you know, I've been hitting you up for the last couple of days. Good thing I wasn't in town trying to treat you to that steak dinner I've been owing you for like the last 3 years. Because
yeah.
You never would have been able to get it because you're not answering your phone.
It has been a crazy, crazy 2 days for me, brother. But yeah, no, we're glad to have you on, though, man.
Deshaun from the top row there. Al's not answering his phone.
Like, dude, like, come on, man. He's attacking me already off the first. Jeez. Come on,
from
man.
From the top turnbuckle, baby. Let me tell you, this is just really realistically what I'm looking at. You know, I got a little bit frustrated when I seen that Izzo decided to sit Cassius for so much time. I mean, let's just look at it, dude. That's your National Player of the Year. You come out preseason, you know, ranked number one, your preseason National Player of the Year, all this other stuff. You know, he played 25 minutes. I think in a situation like that, you don't play your guy less than 35 minutes. And I know that there's been some conversations about, you know, maybe him being tired or whatever the case, maybe mentally drained, if you will, to an extent, some stuff that he came out and said. But, you know, I wasn't somewhere just upset about, you know, Tom Izzo in that situation, but even a little bit with Cassius Winston, I'm feeling a little bit of frustration because what is the worst that can happen if you don't challenge the coach and say, put me back in? You are the guy that he trusts the most, maybe the most trustworthy guy since the last point guard that won the national championship in the team, Cleese. I feel like there's a very similar relationship. That's not something Draymond Green would have been having. He would have put that faith in Tom Izzo. I'm sorry.
And this is the thing, and this is a point I want to make, though, real quick, not to cut you off, Deshaun, but the thing is, though, sure. You know, with Cassius being so valuable, I mean, he gets into early foul trouble, and you're looking at it like, this is the thing, I don't trust the referees. So I look at this from the standpoint of time, looking at things and saying, okay, because as we know right now, November college basketball is ugly to watch, Deshaun. I think players are still figuring out things as far as, okay, how much contact can I have with that offensive guy, and is leading to these ticky-tack fouls. First off, the college game has to change the way they call the game today, but that's a whole other topic here. But when your star picks up early fouls, I mean, you almost have to sit him, though, right, Deshaun? That'd be kind of crazy if you don't.
Let me ask you this: if this were a one and done situation, if this was March Madness, would he have been sitting him? Especially if Cassius Winston came to him and said, "Hey, coach, put your trust in me. I got this. I won't pick up another foul before the end of the half." Not only that, but what are your other options in that situation? Mm-hmm. And here's another one of my problems, though. Let's play Coach Al Martin here for a second, mm-hmm. Okay? Like, if you're in a situation where you're in the huddle and you're trying to draw up a play, and it's to get Cassius Winston the ball so that he can go ahead and do his thing, or he hasn't been playing well, or he's out of the game, whatever the case may be, who is the most reliable scoring option, secondary scoring option to him? That's one of the biggest problems that I think Michigan State has right now. When you're looking at this, they're not going back to the old. You need to go back to the old brand of basketball when you're talking about Michigan State. Guys are crashing rebounds hard and not turning the ball over, making their free throws, doing all the little things. In the last, handful and a half of games, we're talking about a team, Michigan State, not anybody else. We're talking about the same team that wanted to be put in the same conversation when Izzo took the job as the North Carolina, Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, and so forth, that has lost to Virginia Tech and has lost to Texas Tech. Now, I know everybody's going to say, hey, you know, Texas Tech, they went all the way. Yeah, because you lost. You were a part of the big reason that they lost the game. I think ultimately when you were talking about Xavier Tillman earlier, I was afraid that this is what Michigan State was going to run into, one of these type of problems. It kind of reminds me of the situation that Draymond Green is in. When you don't have the horses around you, you tend to get exposed. And I think that that's what's happening with Tillman, because you could afford to defer to a Nick Ward. You could afford to defer to a Kenny Goins, where he has some of that perimeter three-point shooting as a threat. But when you're looking at what Xavier Tillman did yesterday, how many turnovers? He probably led the team in turnovers with, what, five? There's no way that a guy like that shooting 40% from the field, and he's a big man, and he's to eat up in the paint. And then you're looking at Tom Izzo, and I'm sitting here looking at it. You know, a part of that, I think the problem was for Tom Izzo not just necessarily sitting Cassius Winston way too long, but on top of that, I think more so than anything, the frustration kind of stems from him making sure that his guards are not feeding the ball on the inside, as small as they were. Heck, I'm frustrated, and I know I'm getting a little bit long-winded, Al, but I
got stuff.
I'm feeling some type of way right now because I'm trying to figure out when can Marcus Bingham play. Mm-hmm. If he can't play against the bigs, against Seton Hall, because of whatever reason, maybe they're too big and he's too, you know, slim on the inside or whatever, and he can't play against the guards against Virginia Tech, then when does he ever get a chance to see the floor?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And I'm with you on that, too. I was puzzled when I looked at the, you know, the box score and I saw that Marcus only played 3 minutes. And, you know, I don't know what that was about. And, and I agree. I think that, you know, and as Alex comments on our Facebook page, yeah, this is that was a coaching problem last night as well, right? I'm not letting Izzo off the hook here. I just question, you know, it's because this is going to happen more as the year goes along, Deshaun. Cassius Winston, I think, is going to be keyed in on because the scouting report, every scouting report, you know, that Michigan State puts out, you know that Cassius Winston is the guy. People are going to key in on him, and when he has a bad game like he had last night,
yes.
Who do you go to?
Yes.
That's the question mark.
Yeah, and you know what? While I agree with that, and I love Cassius Winston, don't get me wrong, with everything he's able to do, everybody knows that he's not the athletically gifted guy. Everybody knows that he's not the speedster and that he probably has the worst body in all of college basketball, in all of basketball, period, second to Kyle Lowry. From the Toronto Raptors. But when I'm looking at this, he can't be the only guy. And this is a Michigan State team that needs to get back to the old ways of Michigan State basketball. You have to be able to have some pride within yourself. My concern is if you can't even win, everybody's talking about a national championship, slow down. I've always told you, mm-hmm. I'm one of the biggest Spartan fans, if not the biggest that people know. Okay. We can't go into a situation where we're talking about, you know, national championships and all that. If you can't even win the Maui Invitational Championship or get to the Maui Invitational Championship game, then I think that the expectations might be raised up, or maybe not expectations, but when we start talking about realistically, things might be a little bit too high and that they may have gotten a little bit too high on themselves. I heard Tom Izzo say in a statement, you know, upsets happen. I don't want to take anything away from Virginia Tech, but upsets happen. But guess what? Out of the last 13 games, I guess, quote unquote, an upset happened to Duke from Michigan State, what, twice? North Carolina has taken them out to make sure that, you know, they have avoided upsets from happening when they play Michigan State. The same thing with Coach K. You're not supposed to lose these types of games. Mm-hmm. If you lose, I would have been a lot more accepting that with a loss to Dayton. And that's still Dayton at the end of the day. But considering how good they look and how much Virginia Tech lost, including their head coach in Buzz Williams, it's just got me very, very irate, especially as a Michigan State fan. And I certainly hope that Izzo, there's some cases where he's got to get out of his my way or the highway mentality.
Right. And I want to ask you this, Deshaun. You know, I think one of the maybe only positive takeaways from last night's performance was Aaron Henry. You know, you asked who is that other guy. Can Aaron Henry become that? Because, you know, you look at, you know, his production in that game, 7 of 12, 2 for 4 from deep, 18 points, the only Spartan in double figures. What was your analysis of him last night?
I mean, he looked good. You know, I always think there's going to be one wing. If it's not him, it's Gabe Brown. If it's not Gabe Brown, then it's Aaron Henry or whatever the case is. And, you know, it's sometimes I feel like, you know, with the way that Izzo rides him, it doesn't really benefit him sometimes. I think that's where you kind of have to pick your spots a little bit or pick your battles, so to speak. But I like him as an athlete. I don't think he's a jump shooter that Gabe Brown is, but I certainly think that he is a phenomenal penetrator and can get to the basket and do some things, and that his ceiling does look high, but he's not the guy that I think I can count on to say, hey, outside of Cassius Winston, he's the go-to guy on a consistent level. I don't know who that guy is. I'm tired, if I'm just being honest, of us, you know, Foster Lawyer going east-west with the basketball instead of going north. Mm-hmm. The rim is this way. Then I don't think, and let's just be honest about this, if we're just being completely real about it, Al Martin, I'm not sure that we will ever in life hear ourselves say, oh, I remember that Michigan State national championship team back in 2020. They They started Thomas Kithier at power forward. You've got to find a way to get somebody else the ball. And there was way too many situations where a guy was just too close to him, too close near to him to where you could just blow on him, and he was blowing layups. I respect him for chasing down rebounds and the hard work ethic and all that stuff that he brings to the table. I mean, I personally just don't see it in terms of him being in the starting lineup. And as much as I've seen out of Marcus Bingham, and that I think Bingham can bring with his length, athleticism. I know he hasn't necessarily gotten a lot of time, but the time that we saw him in the game so far against Kentucky and against a couple other teams, he's cleaned up around the rim. We know that he's not big and bulky, but in the same token, I like to think that his length can be used to his advantage, even if just rebounding the basketball and just going out there, closing out, you know, being a 7-footer, closing out on a 6-foot-1 shooter, for crying out loud. I think you got to make some adjustments, and we're going to learn a lot about Tom Izzo when they take on one of the best prospects in the country in Anthony Edwards and Rayshon Hammonds from Norcross, Georgia. These two guys are going to be looking to certainly rebound from their loss against Dayton, the same way Michigan State will be hungry.
In that matchup, just about, a little over than 30 minutes from now against Georgia on ESPN2. Deshaun, we have just exactly 1 minute left. Real quickly here, on a scale from 1 to 10, where is your panic meter with MSU? Real quick.
I'm not even close to panicking. I would probably say at max probably about a 4. If we're talking about Michigan State in November, this is absolutely nothing new to Michigan State fans, where early in the season they don't look so great, and then late in the season they typically look good. Now, I mean, obviously that's not something that you can really rely upon and say, hey, this game doesn't really matter that much because it's not March yet. So I don't think you can afford to have that kind of mentality, but I certainly think that you have to kind of show that you're taking some steps and improving, and you can't afford to lose to teams like Virginia Tech if you're Michigan State. And a lot of that starts tonight, because guess what? In here just in a few minutes,
yeah,
Georgia may not be overly familiar with Michigan State, but there's a person over in Athens, Georgia that is, and that's Tom Crean, former assistant to Tom Izzo. So it's going to get interesting.
All right, folks. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Be easy.